That's what we're dealing with here as we come to John 3:16, because it is the gospel in a nutshell. And it sets out the love of God, the plan and purpose and the destiny of sinners in just 25 words. And this text has all the ingredients of a full gospel message. It reveals God's nature. It reveals his plan and purpose to save perishing sinners from the broad road to destruction and to lead them through that narrow way to eternal life. Thankful to be on the air again to bring the message of the gospel to you, and I trust it will be a personal word for your own heart to lead you to saving faith in the Lord Jesus. That's what it's all about. Men need to be saved. It is either be redeemed or be rejected. It is either be born again or it is be banished from the presence of God. It is either you are walking in the broad road to destruction or you're in the narrow way that leads to eternal life. Now, this makes Christianity a great challenge to all who hear the gospel. And we need that message to lead sinners to the cross. And I trust that you will stay tuned right through the program today as we preach the message of the cross, the way of God's salvation, by the victory of Calvary. In John 3:16, we have this wonderful word, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." People put that all back to front, and they say that the Son so loved the world that he came in spite of the Father. No, we must understand that the redeeming plan of our redemption began in the very heart of God. It was he who from all eternity chose his people to eternal life and gave them to the Son, and gave the Son to fulfill every covenant obligation that his people would be saved. And so the Father planned it, the Son purchased it, and then it's the work of the Holy Spirit to apply it. So stay tuned right through the program today, and may the Lord bless you through his own word. Now, today I want you to imagine that you're sitting at your desk and you have your computer in front of you and you've got a blank screen. And I want you to type 25 words. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I want you to think on those words and then put one little comment at the bottom, "Good news." Now, take your mouse, highlight all the text, and hit the delete button. And think of a world without John 3:16. It would be a world without hope. Without John 3:16 and all the truths and all the gospel mentioned and contained there, heaven would be unreachable and hell would be inescapable. Think of a world with no Savior. Think of a world where the Creator God had no love for sinners. That's what we're dealing with here as we come to John 3:16, because it is the gospel in a nutshell. And it sets out the love of God, the plan and purpose and the destiny of sinners in just 25 words. And this text has all the ingredients of a full gospel message. It reveals God's nature. It reveals his plan and purpose to save perishing sinners from the broad road to destruction and to lead them through that narrow way to eternal life. Our definition of the gospel is very simple. God's plan to bring helpless, hopeless sinners out of an estate of misery and doom into an estate of grace and glory. That's the gospel. And to know this is to have real peace. And yet, John 3:16 is so little preached. I have to confess that in the history of my own ministry in this church, I have not preached on this text very often. But in this series of John 3, I have the great privilege of standing on these 25 words and declaring them here today. I came across a very dynamic outline of this text, that its love at its loftiest source, God gave. Love at its widest range, the world. Love at its deepest manifestation, his only begotten Son. Love at its highest purpose, that we should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, the source of this love is the heart of God himself, because it tells us here that God gave. Someone somewhere came up with the crazy idea that Jesus came down from heaven and he suffered and died on a cross so that he would change the heart of his Father, that he would be turned from fury to love. That's a most pathetic view of the eternal purpose and plan of God. To answer that notion will be my sermon today. To undo that foolish idea that God is a reluctant saving God, that he himself did not plan the cross, but rather was turned to accept it and thereby accept us, that is something that we must resist. And here we must remember for God. That's how John begins here, for God. And for means because. There's a purpose here, there's a plan, and it's God at the commencement of the plan. He's the originator, and he is the one who brings it to pass. And so we start with the truth in this text that God gave a sovereign decree to save his people. Now, to give you just a little ounce of theology at the beginning of this, a decree is something that God determines. And because God's decrees are eternal and unchangeable, there never was a time when God was not the God of redemption. There never was a point in history, back in eternity, before the world was created, that God was not the God of redemption, because his decrees are eternal, his purposes are eternal and unchangeable. And so God was always the God of salvation, the God of mercy, and the God who would bring a people out of the depths of sin. He is the God of the elect, those whom he has chosen from before the foundation of the world. They would be his church. They are sometimes called his sheep, those that belong to the shepherd. They would be his body. And God decreed that out of sinful mankind, though they were hopelessly lost through sin, that they would be saved from perishing in the eternal fires of hell, and brought into the glories of heaven. Now that's a gospel that ought to thrill the preacher's heart. But I have to confess something, that we're dealing with things here that are just so familiar that we can lose sight of the wonder and the amazing grace that flows out of the heart of God. How often have you read John 3:16 and flipped the page and never really thought about it? This is God's eternal, unchangeable love for his people. I want to give you a few corroborating Bible texts, because this is not just John 3:16 in isolation. This text is not just an island in the Bible. All through the Bible, we find this is the God of grace at work. Will you turn me to a number of passages? I'm going to get you to do a little bit of Bible work now. Firstly, to Romans 8 and verse 29. Romans chapter 8 and the verse 29. Here's another because. Here's another reason. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified, and justified, them also he glorified. What shall we say then to these things, if God be for us? This is God's plan. This is God who set his love upon sinners and predestined, pre-programmed their destiny from the way of destruction to the way of eternal life. My next passage is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and through to 6. Ephesians 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ. Now, let's get the personal pronoun sorted out here. According as he, God the Father, hath chosen us in him, in his Son, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. This is God in his choosing, in his decree, in his determination that he is going to bring a people one day out of misery, out of lost condition, out of the pollution of sin, and present us perfect, without sin, before God in heaven. The next text is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The foundation standeth sure. What foundation? The gospel foundation. The foundation of God's plan. That eternal decree is immovable and unchangeable. It is absolutely certain. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and he hath chosen them, decreed them, predestined them, and that will never change. That foundation will always stand. 1 John 4 and verse 19. This will be our last proof text that we're looking at here. And it's that little statement. We love him because he first loved us. Isn't that wonderful? The gospel is not man's idea. The gospel is not man's plan. The gospel is the wisdom, the power, and the purpose of the eternal God. Now, in that John 3:16, I'm going to take you back there again, because we're preaching John 3:16 today. These were just other corroborative passages that would let you see that this truth is biblical through and through. It is not just a single, simple, lonely statement in the Bible. But here in John 3:16, out of those 25 words, there are 10 pairs. And a preacher called A.T. Pearson pointed out this many, many years ago, that there are 10 words that go in pairs. There's God and Son. And there you have the giver and the gift. God and His Son, the giver and His gift. Then you have loved and gave. Now it is the Father who loved, and it was the Son whom He gave. And so again, God is the originator of the plan. You have world and whosoever, and there is the direction of God's loving and giving. And it's good to know that God loves all types of men out of the world. But it's also better to know that He loves individuals, whosoever, even you and me. Then the next pair, believe and have. Believe and have. Now those two words go together. And you'll notice that the believing comes first. It's not the other way around. The carnal mind thinks, I've got to have and then I can believe. No, you believe and then you receive. Perish and life. That's another pair. The two ultimate extremes of human destiny. And the whole scheme of God's saving plan is to turn men totally in a 180-degree turn from the path of destruction to the path of eternal life and fellowship with God. And every step in the formation of these words demonstrates that God is the very source of love to sinners. Now, do you see that today? Can you think of it any other way? And therefore, you will rejoice in this truth, that it was God the Father's heart that was moved to seek the salvation of men. And so Jesus did not just die on the cross to change the heart of God. I insist on this. That is a very spurious, a very low, and a very sad mentality when you come to stand at the cross. Is Jesus there offering Himself up because God has no interest in sinners? That God seeks to condemn and destroy sinners in hell. Now the giving grows out of the loving. I want you to see that here in John 3:16. Had God the Father not loved, He would not have given His Son. Now you might say, but who would ever think like that? That God had no interest in saving sinners. Well, D.L. Moody, the great revivalist preacher of the last century, who preached the gospel to multitudes, he says that as a young man, that he imagined that God was just an ogre, reluctant to give salvation to sinners, and that the Son's purpose was to soften the heart of His Father. What a strange, lonely, and twisted view of the heart of God. God so loved the world. And John's word for infinite is so. God's love flowing out of His heart is so wide, can't get around it. So high, can't get over it. So deep, you can't get around it. And this infinite love of God for the souls of men is beyond our calculation. And we need to remind ourselves that this salvation is the eternal plan of a God of grace whose heart beats and throbs with mercy towards sinful men and women. That's the God whom we worship. We need to remind ourselves that it's not the church's plan. Salvation did not originate with the church. The church is the people whom God loves. The church is the body who look to Christ as their head. The church is the product, not the originator or the architect. And it's certainly not the plan which has evolved out of the schemes of men's religions. This gospel came from heaven, just as our Lord Jesus came down from heaven. So there are some lessons to take away from this. Firstly, we need to be done with the attitude that we need to twist the arm of God to show mercy to sinful men. When you pray, when you plead with God to save either your own soul, your wife, your husband, your children, your friends, you do not need to twist the heart of God. God's heart already bulges with blessing for sinners. And rather, God works His will in the hearts of men, then men's hearts need to be changed. Men's hearts that are rebellious and stubborn need to be broken and made contrite so that they surrender to the plan and purpose of God. Secondly, this is just a little lesson we're drawing from this truth, that it is impossible to overrepresent the willingness of God to save. No preacher, no Sunday school teacher, no mother who speaks the gospel to her child can ever overexpress or exaggerate the truth that God is filled with infinite love to save your soul. How can we express the infinite? Where shall we get the words, the adjectives to describe the very grace that is within the heart of God? And the very truth needs to be nailed to the coffin, that man needs to earn God's mercy and God's favor. You'll never do it. No matter how hard you might try, no matter how much you work at it, no matter how long you go on that pilgrimage of works, you'll never reach the place where you deserve God's love and mercy. But when you come and fall at the feet of the cross, and you take the place as an empty sinner, and you say, "Thank you, O God, that you designed this way, that I might be reconciled and come back to God," then salvation will flow into your heart. Will you do that today? Will you take the sinner's place at the foot of the cross, and then you will be saved?
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned and clean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh,
you have it, the gospel, pure, clear, and simple. And if John 3:16 doesn't cut it, what about this in Ephesians chapter 1? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he, that is the Father, hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now that's the will of the Father. That's the determination of God the Father. So there was never any reluctance in God's heart. He is the one who planned the cross, who chose his people, and praise God, this wonderful way to the Father is opened up through the perfect work of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I wonder today, do you recognize the love of God toward you? If you look to Calvary, you will see the love of God in its highest form. There the Father punishing his own beloved Son, that you would be delivered from sin's wrath. There was no other way. God, the just and the holy, must payment on sin demand. But praise God, he doesn't demand a second payment. He accepts the payment of Jesus in our place. And so I trust that you will run to the Savior and call upon him to deliver you from the depths of your sin, to make you a Christian, and to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Stay tuned now for these closing announcements. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. I hope you have been blessed today through our ministry of the gospel. We have a wonderful Savior, and I invite you to trust in him as your Savior too. The Bible is very clear that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Romans 10:13. Look it up in your Bible. Pray over that very verse for the wonderful promise of God's salvation. And I assure you, the Lord will save you. And if I can be of any personal help, or if I can send you a gospel booklet, encourage you and guide you, please send me an email to ltbsradio@gmail.com. When you email me, I can also sign you up to receive these programs each week as a podcast. My email again is ltbsradio@gmail.com. If you wish to write, send your letter to Let the Bible Speak, 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. I trust that you will have a blessed week as you walk with the Lord and as you feed on his word. Remember that to abide in his word is the way to have the Lord abide in you.